I've heard the Jets are pretty terrible.
Yes, Jets are also pretty terrible.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Bayern Munich officially kicked off their preseason training this week with several players, including the club's three newest signings, showing up for training for the first time today. But even with the additions of Sadio Mane, Nusair Mazraoui, and Ryan Gravenberch, it seems the Bavarians still have much work they want to accomplish in the transfer market. And they have reportedly identified Juventus defender Matthias De Ligt as their next marquee signing. Well, I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about the De Ligt reports and several others with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, if you are a fan of Bayern Munich, which I assume you are if you're listening to this podcast, then you've undoubtedly seen that Matthias De Ligt has popped up on the Bayern radar. In just the span of a few days, he's gone from sort of being this almost like a dream signing that, you know, maybe Bayern would want, but it kind of, you know, it seemed impossible to us as fans, to the point now where Bayern Munich are more than likely going to be signing Matthias De Ligt in the next few days, in the next week or so. And it's kind of come out of nowhere, taken us all by storm. So I really want to talk about that transfer before we get to some others. We got a pretty packed episode coming for you guys today, but I'm going to come to Sebastian first. Matthias De Ligt, you know, he would probably cost at least 70 million euros, probably even more, whether or not those are in add-ins or if that's an upfront fee. He's a fantastic player, clearly, but do you think that he is someone who would be worth that price tag, considering what Bayern have already spent this summer, considering, you know, the positions that will probably still need to be filled, especially with Robert Lewandowski maybe leaving? Is Matthias De Ligt worth that price tag, and why would you argue he is, or why would you argue he isn't?
First and foremost, when we're talking about the quality of that player, I definitely think he's worth that much. He's good enough for that. He's a leader. He's a very good defender. He's 22, which is a very good age. He already has a lot of experience. 38 international games, for example. So he just brings a lot to the table there. The other question there, of course, is like, can Bayern afford that? Should Bayern afford that? I must say it's a bit surprising that we are talking about this right now, because ahead of this transfer window, the club had been kind of rather cautious, a bit defensive about spending a lot of money. So I didn't see that coming, I must say. I didn't see that coming, getting a relatively high number of players, because this is not what we had been doing in the transfer windows before this one. And now with the whole Corona situation, it sounded like we would want to play it a bit more conservative. On the other hand, without having these statements in mind, you would have to think that Bayern should be one of the clubs who came out of this whole Corona situation looking better than most other clubs, right? So from that perspective, if we have that money, if we can afford that, and I'm rather positive that if the club is thinking about doing that, that we actually can afford that. Like if it's not putting the future of the club at a unnecessarily high risk, which I don't think it does, then I would say he's probably worth that money for us. Why would we get him? This is connected to a couple of other possible transfers. We could think about who's probably going out, and we could think about if we get this guy, what about Leimer? Because kind of both of these transfers could be an answer or part of an answer to our defensive problems last year or last season. And I think it's kind of up in the air. There are kind of different opinions as to how to fix that. I would say, from my personal perspective, the De Ligt transfer is probably the one I would prefer. Not saying necessarily that I would not like both of those transfers to happen, but I think it had been pretty obvious last year that what this defense was lacking was not like talent or speed or strength. What they were lacking was some guy who would bring leadership to the actual back line, who would give directions, who would have the bigger picture in mind, who needs to be where. Because that was, very much missing last season. We saw that in like a handful of games where Nianzou was kind of looking like he was trying to do something like that, and sometimes it kind of worked, but that's maybe a bit much to put on his shoulders right there. And I didn't see any of that from our other defenders, if we leave Nianzou out of that for the moment. And I think this in itself is just what we really, really, really need back there. And I mean, we have been talking about getting defenders before. De Ligt had been linked to the club years ago, and I already liked the idea back then because I really like him. I think he's one of my favorite center backs around right now. So I'm definitely in favor of this one.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting. I think our podcast has been long enough, or been around long enough, for us to have. This is the second time we're talking about a potential Matthias De Ligt to Bayern Munich type of transfer, because I believe it was back in 2019 when he almost made the move from Ajax. It seemed like he wanted Bayern then, and it just kind of fell apart. It didn't work out, and the way it sounds right now, you know, Chelsea are interested. Chelsea want the player, but he has pretty much told his agent, told Juventus as well, that no, it's only going to be Bayern Munich. Let's see if we can get things sorted out to where I can head to Bayern. And we talk all the time, but that's exactly the type of player that we want to have here. Garrett, you know, it did seem like Bayern had cooled on the idea of signing a center back. It seemed like we were ready to go into the season with Lucas Hernandez, Dayot Upamecano, Pavard, Nianzou, maybe even Chris Richards as well. And then this De Ligt rumor kind of comes out of nowhere. Do you agree with Sebastian that it's not necessarily only what he brings in terms of his defensive capabilities that makes him a good fit at Bayern, but do you think that he offers something that we don't already have in terms of maybe leadership at the back?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of speaking to the fact that Bayern were talking as if they weren't going to replace Niklas Süle in the squad, and that they had kind of options that they were kind of thinking internally were going to step up. I think if a guy like De Ligt came available, that was always going to be an option for Bayern to kind of backtrack on that. And I think that in this situation, given that he is saying that I want to go to Bayern, it's kind of a Bayern couldn't say no. And if you can get him now at this age, and it really will strengthen your squad, then you have to do it. I think the thing about him that's so important and why Bayern need to go for him now is that, unlike Konrad Leimer, I think we all would agree is a fine player. I don't know a ton about him. I haven't watched him a ton, but he would come in and play a role that Bayern have been lacking. A dedicated defensive midfielder, and so that changes a little bit the way that you play. But I think we all also agree that if Leon Goretzka, for example, just decided they decided they were going to move him into the defensive midfield and then focus him on the defensive aspects of the game, that he can do that and do it well. Maybe not to the extent or the absolute ability that Leimer is already, but he can do it. There is no player on this Bayern back line that any of us, I think, and I would guess most people around would feel really confident is the type of player who's going to, you know, take control of the back line, organize it, be the leader back there, and also be just an exceptional athlete to do the types of things that Bayern are going to want him to do. De Ligt is that guy. And I think what's interesting is having, you know, you said, you mentioned, we've talked about him before when he was coming, he was potentially coming from Ajax, and Bayern had a chance at him. It actually works out better now because Bayern have been able to see him. And yes, you're paying more for him now, but maybe he's not the same player if he comes straight from Ajax to Bayern as he is coming from Juventus to Bayern, because now he's proven himself as not only a player amongst a lot of different younger players, that he can organize them and be a leader on a team like Ajax, who typically run younger. But he's also done it now at Juventus and been able to kind of learn with some of the more seasoned veterans there at a giant club like that. So coming to Bayern shouldn't be feels like such a big step up, and so he would be one that you would expect would come in right away and fill that need that we talked about several times. Just that Bayern looked disorganized at the back, and it looks like it's not an issue, as Sebastian said, it's not an issue of athletes, it's not an issue of speed, it's not an issue of any of that. It's an issue of just not being well enough organized, or some sort of communication issue is what it seems like. So all that to say, I think that he definitely fills a need that maybe Bayern could have got away with out addressing as they have. But this type of a move, getting a player like him, could really take Bayern to that next level. You can't predict how many trophies they're going to win because of it, but it would at least take them into the conversation where you would not be surprised if they're in that treble range again, because of the talent they have in that back line.
Yeah. You brought up something that we had talked about offline, and I kind of just want to echo because I agree with the sentiment, and that's if it does come down to it's either we sign De Ligt or we sign Konrad Laimer, which I don't necessarily think that's the case, but if it does come down to that, we were all kind of in agreement that De Ligt brings more to the table in comparison with what we've got than Laimer does. You know, kind of like you brought up, if we really want, Goretzka can probably play that defensive midfield role and be closer to where Laimer would be than our center backs can in reaching the leadership qualities and the overall maybe defensive capabilities of Matthias De Ligt. But that's what I want to talk about here real quick, Tim. And obviously, De Ligt is a great leader, and he's shown in the past that he is also a really good center back, really good defender. But I think, especially since he's moved to Juventus, there have been times where he's looked maybe a little bit shaky, maybe a little bit out of sorts, and that could be in part because he never really settled in Juventus. He never really fit in with the Italian league after coming from an attacking side like Ajax. But I guess a couple questions on that. Number one, are his defensive capabilities up to a level where he's going to show up and be an immediate starter, immediate first choice for a center back pairing at Bayern Munich? And second, who should be maybe concerned for their spot in the starting lineup if that is the case with De Ligt coming in?
I think defensive deficiencies, blunders, mistakes, whatever you want to call it, that's going to happen with everyone. It happened with Mats Hummels, it happened with Boateng, it happened with Alaba, it happened with Davies, it happened with less so with Philipp Lahm. It still happens. Like, you can have the absolute best defender in the world, they're going to make mistakes. I think De Ligt was kind of unfortunate that he had De Ligt joined the Juventus of a few seasons prior and had taken on the role of, when Bonucci went to AC Milan, I think De Ligt really could have locked that down. And he is young. I think it's going to be very easy to forget just how young he is. I remember actually when we had that conversation of, who's going to join Bayern? Is it going to be De Ligt? Is it going to be Hernandez? What's going to happen there? And then it was kind of cited that, well, Hernandez has got the experience edge. And I worked out it wasn't true. Matthijs de Ligt has actually played more games than Lucas Hernandez. He's played more games than Benjamin Pavard. He's one of the more experienced youngsters that you can get. And with that, he's already got a number of things to his name. I think what he achieved at Ajax and being the center point there was just really, really impressive. And then making that move. And yeah, he did struggle at times. I think it took him a little while to kind of settle into it. I think you can maybe chalk that up to him being almost too good in a team that already has very, very good defenders. Because I think any team in the world would have taken Chiellini at one point. I think he is still a very, very talented player. But obviously it's going to be very difficult to displace that, especially at Juventus, where Bonucci and Chiellini were two of like the most, I guess, like they were almost synonymous with Juventus to a point. I do think that, yes, he has struggled, but that's completely understandable. I think it would be surprising if he hadn't. I don't think any issues that I've ever seen from him are kind of enough to say, oh, this guy's awful. I think there's already been a good enough display of everything that he can do. And also, I think what he brings that would, I would argue, almost immediately displace someone else is something that you can't coach. You can go to courses on how to be more confident and become a good public speaker, but in terms of being a leader on a football pitch, that's not really something that we've seen from Upamecano. It's not really something we've seen from Hernandez either. And if there have been all of these reports that, oh, this was like Pavard wanted to step up and be that leader, he's been at the club 3 years with fairly erratic performance levels. He never really showed that was going to be, you know, I never saw that sense of leadership. It's one thing to be kind of like banging on the side on the Champions League final and like cheering everybody on. Odrio Zola was doing it. It doesn't mean that you should make him the captain. Maybe you should. I don't know. I like the guy. But I do think that what De Ligt is going to bring that will instantly put him above somebody like Pavard, who I do think would be the one to suffer here, is the fact that he's already shown, yeah, I can lead a team to the Champions League semi-final. And I know that it's a group effort, but what he's going to be able to do is he's going to try at least to shore up that defence. And yeah, there is that issue of everything that's happening just in front of him. That midfield still needs a bit of work done to it. But I think he's going to be able to be, I guess, that calming presence that I feel we've not had since Hummels left. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that like we've spent over 200 million on defenders and not one of them has actually been a notable upgrade on Mats Hummels. Maybe people have like reached the same level as him, but you wouldn't say, I'll definitely take that guy over Hummels. I think De Ligt is going to be that guy for Bayern, and I'm so excited if it happens.
Yeah,
it's not confirmed yet.
Not confirmed.
Not get ahead of myself.
Right, but the way that this summer has been going, it looks like it'll be done sooner than later. But I think you could also say maybe we're due to have the rug pulled out from underneath us at some point. But hopefully it goes through. But Tim, you brought up Benjamin Pavard, and you said he's going to be the one who is likely going to suffer if this De Ligt deal goes through. And I'm in agreement with you there 100%. But it also just so happens that both Sky Germany and Bild, Sky Germany were the first ones to really come forth with the De Ligt rumors. Both of them have said that Pavard could be on the selling block for this summer transfer window. And so, Sebastian, I got to ask, do you agree that if De Ligt comes in, Pavard is probably the one who needs to go, who should go? And then also, if Pavard does go, is there enough depth at right back without him? Not, and maybe even at center back without him?
So Pavard, I would like to add to that list, is probably the first one who would want to go. Because he seems to have made up his mind that he wants to play center back and that he wants to be kind of what we want De Ligt to be, kind of to be a leader in the back line. The problem is he hasn't really shown us much of that, which is only partly his fault, I suppose, because he hasn't played in the middle much. But yeah, he's 26 years old now, and he has never come across as like the leader of that kind of part of a squad for me. I don't know if you guys' impression is kind of different there, but he never struck me kind of as a leader the way De Ligt does. And he has never been something like that, I feel. So he's kind of our least proven center back as a center back, if we kind of exclude Nianzu here and maybe Richards. But yeah, so Upamecano and Hernandez are definitely more proven as center backs. And I can see them work well next to De Ligt. With Pavard, I'm just not sure. And do we need him at right back? I would say probably no. I mean, not that I would say that I ever want to see Bonassar play there again. But we have Mazraoui there. We have Stanisic there, who I really want to see get minutes. And right back is probably his best position to get that. And if we really, really need it, I would rather keep Chris Richards, probably. Because selling him would not generate much money. But he could be a backup both at centre-back and at right-back and maybe even at left-back because he's the most versatile of our guys back there, maybe next to Stanisic. So I would really think that having Pavard leave is kind of the best option there. It leaves us in the best shape if Pavard leaves compared to anyone else leaving back there, in my opinion. This seems like... I mean, I don't remember when the last time was that we had two right backs that I'm actually fine seeing as right backs. So I think I'm fine, right? I'm not going to ask Bayern to add another right back now that Stanisic has become a viable option, and now that I got the right back that I've been calling for 2 years or something like that, I'm not going to complain. I don't think we really need Pavard at that point. Yeah, I think. Also, I also want to add that real quick. I think we can probably get kind of a good sum of money for him. I think that's realistic. I think he's an attractive target for a lot of clubs, and yeah, that should also play a role here, of course.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my next question, and I'll kind of turn it over to Garrett if you have any thoughts on the Pavard transfer, but also specifically, we paid 35 million euros to Stuttgart whenever we bought him. What type of transfer fee do you think we should be expecting to get back? Are we just meeting the selling point or the point that we bought him at? Are we trying to make money off of him? Maybe we'll be willing to lose a little bit. Where do you think that his value currently lies?
I think, to me, it's been long enough since they bought him that I wouldn't be too terribly worried about making a profit off of him. I'm not really sure where the market value lands on him, because he's been a starter for Bayern. He's won Champions League with Bayern. He's done all those things statistically. I guess Transfermarkt has him at a 33, and this is in dollars, but $33 million, which I think if they could get 30 for him, that's fair, and it helps Bayern. It doesn't. It makes sure that they don't come away with nothing from him. But and also, I think he's a good enough player that there should be some decent sized clubs that are willing to come and buy him and move him along. I will say that it would be a little disappointing after the comments he made saying that he'd never go to Dortmund. It's a little sad to see a guy like that with that kind of character leave the club if he does end up leaving. But yeah, I would say I would be okay with him moving on strictly for the same reasons that Sebastian said. The fact that we have three guys we feel happy about playing right back at this point is a little disorient, but yeah, I think if they can move him along, I think that would be great. I don't think that he's the kind of player that is going to cause waves if they don't move him on and he's kind of relegated to, I mean, really the same position he was this past season. For being honest, he wasn't super involved. I mean, he wasn't an every match starter. He wasn't always starting in the same position even. So he can move across the field. I think he's an excellent option at, you know, a backup center back or a backup right back if he's willing to do that. But if you can get $30 million for him, I'd be happy with that number for Bayern.
His transfer value is quite weird because I looked at it, so it's it says £27 million, which is like, I think if you were to look at Pavard, you'd say, yeah, he's worth 30 million, like 30 to somewhere between like 25 to 45 million, kind of anywhere in that range. But you're putting that value on somebody that's a right back, but he's not, because he's not really the same sort of right back that other right backs are. And you'd be selling a player in one position that he's not really played for the best part of like 3 years. I know he's kind of played more like a center back recently, like under Nagelsmann in the back three, but it's kind of strange. It's a difficult one to work out, like, what is this guy's value in this particular role that he hasn't really performed in. I think even in that sense, anywhere between 25 and 45, I'd like the idea of Bayern getting a decent amount of money for him. I'm going to be very interested to see where he goes and more accurately what position he plays in.
I think it's
going to be interesting.
Go ahead, Garrett.
And I don't think that he'd end up, you know, he's the type of player that, you know, Manchester City, you know, Real Madrid, you know, those huge clubs are going to really be all that interested in. But like, I mean, I'm thinking about teams that are kind of, you know, some of the upper to mid table Premier League clubs, even within the Bundesliga, I think there's a lot of clubs that could use a guy like Pavard. Whether you play him at right back or center back, you're good. You know what you're getting out of him, I think. And I think that level or that degree of certainty certainly has value. And he's only 26. I mean, there's still room for some growth in terms of, you know, some of the intangible skills. But to your point, yeah, I mean, it's like, you kind of have to know exactly what you're buying him for. Are you purchasing this player for right back, expecting him to be kind of the more modern right back that gets forward and is really involved in the offense? I would guess probably not. But if you're a team that plays a back three, mm-hmm. I mean, that'd be an excellent signing for a club like that, I think.
Yeah, that's basically what I was gonna say. If I was Pavard, I would probably only be open to a club that is gonna be playing with a back three, whether that be, you know, Chelsea, even Juventus, maybe. Because I think it's pretty clear from his time at Stuttgart and from his time at Bayern as well that he is best when he's played as a right center back in a back three. Because it's kind of that perfect hybrid anyway. He's not exactly proven to be a fantastic center back in a back two. He's clearly not a world-class right back in, you know, what's expected of a modern right back. But when he plays in that back three and he's allowed, you know, the outside center back role where he can go forward a little bit, but he's still primarily a defender, I think that's where he excels. And so I think finding a club that is going to offer him that position, let him really kind of make it his own, that's where I would be looking to go. And if no one comes for me, if I'm Pavard, then I'm going to stick around at Bayern. And I think he's got the character to do this, to try and prove to the club that he can still be an asset. And so I guess we'll have to kind of see how this one develops, see where it goes. I think it, you know, obviously it depends on what happens with De Ligt first, but I think we'll probably see some movement in that area. One player who, by multiple reports, basically this transfer has been confirmed, multiple reports say that he's on his way out, is Omar Richards, who is reportedly moving to Nottingham Forest, recently promoted back to the Premier League for around 10 million euros. And this one's really a weird one because he came on a free transfer at the beginning of last season, barely got any minutes, and now he's already on his way out. Came as a free transfer from Reading, by the way, who weren't even in the Premier League. And so, Tim, as a Brit and a Richards yourself, what are your thoughts on Omar Richards heading out the door? Do you think that it's a good enough fee for Bayern? Is it a good move, bad move? Does it leave us, you know, how does that leave us at left back? What are your thoughts?
It's nice to be like ticking two demographics here.
Right.
I am sad. I'm very sad that he's leaving. I don't think he was bad. Like, I don't think there's another way that I can say it. He wasn't first team material. I don't think anybody was under the impression that he would be. I think considering the jump that he made from the Championship to the Champions League, because he leaves as a guy now with Champions League experience. I remember watching him in the preseason games, and it looked like he had been a Bayern player for years. He just seemed really, really comfortable. He was like getting involved in attack. He was coming back on defense. He was doing exactly what you wanted that sort of left wing back to do. And it's just a bit of a disappointment. I don't think he's the sort of guy that would think like this was a waste of time. I think something like this for a young guy is a fantastic move because he got to play with some amazing people. He would have learned a lot there than he would have done just like sat on the bench in like, maybe not sat on the bench, but having that sort of experience and exposure can only be beneficial. I would have loved to have seen more of him. But at the same time, I feel leaving England to go to Germany, because he is young, he's still like, okay, he's not like a 16-year-old, like he's in his early 20s, but that is still very young. I think I've said it before, it's very easy to forget a very human element to this. To leave London and then live in Munich, it can't be easy. And so I can completely understand if he wanted to move back to the UK. I've not been to Nottingham for a while. I think it's fine. I imagine it's okay. But Nottingham Forest are a team that are clearly trying to not just like survive, but I think they want to do quite well. They've made some pretty good signings recently. So I think this is a great signing for them. It's a shame that it didn't work out, but Bayern are getting a 10 million euro, 10 million euro profit from him. He has the experience, and I don't think he's the sort of guy that will badmouth the club. And it's a shame, but it does leave that space open for a backup. I don't know if that's going to be Hernandez. I don't want it to be Hernandez. I'd rather it be a player of that ilk of Omar Richards or closer to Alphonso Davies. I guess Stanisic could probably do a good job there. But yeah, it does now mean that Bayern need to find a suitable left back backup.
I guess I don't have a ton of thoughts on this. I think that if we can get 10 million euros for him, I completely understand why we sell him. And I'll add that's because Alphonso Davies missed a significant chunk of this past season, and we still only saw Omar Richards start 5 games. He played 400 and something minutes across both the Bundesliga and the Champions League. And so, you know, if we frame this conversation in terms of, okay, if we sell Richards when Davies gets hurt, what happens? Then we just have to look back at this past season for that answer, because that's essentially what happened. Davies got hurt, and guess what? It wasn't Omar Richards stepping up and filling in. More often than not, it was Lucas Hernandez. Maybe it was a change in the system where we saw Kingsley Coman potentially playing as a left wing back. And so I would be surprised if we go out of our way to sign a left back. You know, there have been whispers earlier in the season about interest in Borna Sosa, and I just can't see something like that taking place. But Garrett, Sebastian, either of you guys have any thoughts on Omar Richards and his potential departure, what that means for the club, before we move on to kind of the next player, the next topic?
Well, I can only say it's probably good for him, because Nagelsmann didn't seem to trust him enough that it would be good for his career. So I guess it's fine. I liked him. I would not have minded him staying, but if he's staying, he should definitely be our backup at left back. And I think you made it clear. He really wasn't that. Nagelsmann didn't trust him to be Davies' replacement. So if he's not that, there's no point in keeping him around.
Right. Another name that Bayern have been linked with that I think has kind of, not kind of, has really been overshadowed by the Matthias de Ligt transfers is a 17-year-old forward from Stade Rennais named Mathys Tel, who I knew nothing about until he was linked with Bayern Munich. And after looking into him, I'm very, I guess, what's the word, very intrigued by this player, very excited about his potential move to Bayern. But Bayern are big favorites to sign the young French striker, 17 years old, but a wonder kid by, you know, all definitions of that word, and apparently made a offer of 7 million euros plus add-ons that could have reached 17 million euros total, which is a big fee for such a young guy, and are preparing their second offer now. I don't expect any of us really have a ton of knowledge on this kid, but Garrett, you know, I got to ask, initial thoughts, do you think that it's too much money for such a young player? Or do you think that Bayern are taking the smart route and now, you know, we've got Sadio Mane secured. Mathys Tel is being planned for the first team, but he's also one for the future. Do you think he warrants spending, you know, a little bit more, 10, 15 million euros on?
I mean, I think because I'm exactly like you, I did not even know this kid existed, to be quite honest, until we were linked with him. And but having looked him up and read about him and all the things that, you know, people who know much more about him and evaluating young talent than I do, I feel like that would be a pretty good move by Bayern. Because I think, especially given we've seen a lot of young talent leave the club, it would be exciting to get someone, especially that caliber, to come into the club and give us some more potential options for the future. Especially given that it seemed like, I mean, up until this summer, when it seems like now we're a spending club again, it seemed like the idea is that Bayern were going to kind of sit back and try to develop from within and grow that way. And this is kind of the best of both worlds, because it sounds like Bayern buy him. They're looking to plug him into the first team and just go from there. So in that sense, if you're planning to plug him into the first team and he is the type of player that pretty smart evaluators are saying is the real deal, then it's not my money, but go for it. Roll the dice. And because players like this, I mean, it's a little bit different with, like we talked about De Ligt earlier, where it was, you know, you're buying a younger player. And you know, fortunately Bayern have another shot at this guy, but for an attacking player, you don't get a whole lot of opportunities to get guys like that. So my worry would be is if you don't go for him now, you don't pay a little bit more than maybe you're ready to, then you're not going to have another shot at him. And that bites you sometimes, but I think Bayern are in a position, especially given that we're hoping that our current top striker is going to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
You got to replenish that arsenal a little bit. Not the Arsenal. You don't want to replenish them at all, but you want to replenish Bayern's. And so, yeah, I'd say go for it.
So Tim, I guess the way I view it is Hasan Salihamidžić has a pretty good track record with young guys. Alphonso Davies kind of came out of nowhere. We knew nothing about him. And look what he's doing. Jamal Musiala, bought from Chelsea, obviously didn't command such a big transfer fee, but that's another Brazzo signing. Then there's Tanguy Nianzou, who hasn't quite worked out so well, but I think those are really kind of the big three young guy type transfers that Brazzo has kind of brought in. Given kind of that track record, I'm a little bit more willing to trust him if he says this kid's worth the 10, 15 million, whatever it is. Trust me, he's worth it. I'm a little bit more willing to be like, yeah, absolutely right. He's definitely the real deal. Has Brazzo earned that credit in your eyes as well?
Yeah, I think he has. If not for what's happened in previous seasons, because like for every Musiala, for every Nianzou, there's also Thiago Dantas, which just didn't work out. Though I think,
but that was Hansi Flick, right?
I think that was Hansi Flick. Yeah. Cool. Well, that argument's settled then. He's never failed. I think what he's achieved this window has been enough. You can almost this probably sounds quite patronizing. He can almost just have like a treat to say like, if you want this guy, if you back him, then yeah. Maybe not in like, I can't imagine that's what like the board and decision makers are saying. I feel like he's kind of got enough credit now that if this guy doesn't work out, it's kind of fine because we've got great firepower in Sadio Mane, and that as a whole kind of would negate any potential, you know, quote unquote bad transfer that this might be. I'm really looking forward to it. I think like every year there's always one player that kind of stands out as like, oh, this guy's really interesting. Like I think Davies in 2019-20, what Musiala was doing in his first season and then carried on doing, it's really wonderful. So I don't want to say like, yeah, it's gonna work out, like the guy's a genius. But there's a lot to suggest that he probably will be, and I think, as Garrett said, I don't know anything about him. I like to watch a bit of French football. I do not know who this guy is at all. I'll happily put my hands up and say that. But everything that I've read, the general consensus appears to be, wow, this is going to be like, he's apparently incredibly complete already for his age. Okay, he's not going to be the guy that could potentially take over from what's his name, the guy that wants to go, but he's probably on that sort of trajectory where he could quite easily take over in a few years' time, given enough development and enough patience and training. It seems to be a really, really good signing. I think he's been playing as a left winger, I believe, as going purely on Transfermarkt and a few other places. But I think he said that he prefers his role through the middle. So that's really good. The fact that you can have somebody to say, this is what I want my role to be, while also having that sort of adaptability. I've always said that versatility is grossly undervalued. And so if this guy's coming in, having experience in all of these roles, and will continue to get better, I can't wait. I'd love to see it happen.
I just want to acknowledge how disorienting this summer has been. We're like two or three episodes removed from having the conversation about whether this is a make or break summer for Brazzo, and here we are, you know, talking about how, like, yeah, I mean, I kind of trust him, and I think that's 100% valid. Like, I don't think that we're being hypocritical by doing that. I think as new information has come to light, you know, and as we've seen what has happened over this transfer window, it's still somewhat true that it's make or break. But given what we've seen since that conversation, it's hard to come away and think, you know, I don't really particularly care for the way that he's handled some of the public stuff, but he's shown himself to be pretty good at least on the young guys. And so, yeah, I think I just wanted to just point out that it's been a wild summer.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, I think when we did that kind of make or break type episode, I think that the main conclusion we came to was it might be a make or break summer, but that Brazo has always been pretty adept when it comes to transfers. That's by far his strong suit. It's the public speaking and everything, the player relations that he struggled with. But also, if this is a make or break summer, we got to give him credit that he's very much on the right track. I think he's exceeded all of our expectations so far.
Yep.
And he's on a really good trajectory that surprisingly just keeps getting better and better every single day with the Matthias De Ligt, Matisse Tell. And so, yeah, credit where credit's due. Salihamidzic has been killing it. Of course, Nagelsmann's been really involved with the transfers as well. You know, every single time that it comes out that, and we're seeing this a lot again, where it's like a player only wanted Bayern, or when Bayern came knocking, we chose Bayern. You know, Sadio Mane was that way. Gravenbeck was that way. It's always been a combination of Salihamidzic and Nagelsmann both together went to the player, showed the plan, outlined, you know, the notorious PowerPoint, and it was deal done. And it sounds like the same thing's happening with De Ligt. And so, yeah, before we get to that final player, just, I guess, shout out to Brazo. He's doing exactly what we wanted him to do so far this summer. So keep it up. But last player before we wrap it up, and I don't want to be here too long because I have a feeling this is either a conversation that's not going to matter at all because the rumor is going to fall away really quickly, or we're going to have plenty of time to talk about this guy's name, and that is João Felix, who there have been some whispers of him taking over as Lewandowski's replacement should Robert Lewandowski leave. And so fairly quickly, you know, Sebastian, the rumors are that Felix could be bought from Atletico Madrid for around 70 million euros, but that Lewandowski and probably another player would have to be sold by Bayern before anything would take place. Now, João Felix is obviously a great player, right? He's super talented, but I guess my question is he the right type of profile that Bayern Munich should be looking for as a quote-unquote Lewandowski replacement?
Yeah, I mean, first, this is probably another player having to be sold thing is a bit weird, right? Let me say that first real quick, because this does include having already signed De Ligt in the meantime, or... I mean, is selling Pavard maybe covering the league, or is that also making it possible to buy a new striker? I don't know. There's just too much happening at the same time, and Bild is vague enough there to, well, kind of make it impossible to prove or disprove whatever they said there. Anyway, I don't particularly like the idea of João Felix. I don't think he's exactly the striker type. And I'm also just basically not completely fond of him. When I look at his stats, they are also kind of only underlining my feelings about him. He's like scored 21 goals in 81 appearances in La Liga, which is not a lot, I feel. Being a like marquee, having been a marquee signing for Atletico, that kind of disappointed, and I was not like entirely convinced of him in the first place. He's not exactly your typical number nine either. I mean, I would like to have at least one typical number nine on the squad. That's my perspective here. That could be Cerxay, for example. Could be someone else. I would have been fine with that being Kalajic, which is probably not going to happen anymore. But some guy like that, at least having the option, at least someone like Cerxay, I think we should have that. You don't want to have only the choice between Gnabry and Mane and guys like that. You want to have one guy who is an actual number nine, at least. And I don't think he's that. He's kind of more of what we already have. Not quite like that, but similar in a way, at least in the metrics that count here. So, nah, of all the strikers we have talked about, he might be the best player. If you just look at how good he is overall, but he's the worst fit of the strikers we have talked about, I think.
So I have a bit on João Félix, and after I'm done, you know, Tim, Garrett, you can jump in. But I agree that his statistics are a little disappointing. However, I think it's important that we remember that he's playing at an Atletico Madrid club that I don't think he has ever really fit in at. The move never made sense to me in the first place. He's such a technical player who would excel in a possession-based system. It doesn't make sense that he went to Atletico Madrid. And so I agree his statistics do let me down, but I think part of it is the team that he's playing at. And I just have to say, anytime I watch an Atletico Madrid game, anytime I see João Félix on the ball, I am just immediately impressed. He is so technically capable. He's so far above most of the other players on the pitch, you know, when he's got the ball at his feet, that it's hard not to look at him and be like, man, I would love to see him at Bayern Munich. Now, I agree he's not your traditional number nine, not your traditional forward. And so that really comes down to Julian Nagelsmann to me. What type of player is he looking for? If he can make Nagelsmann work in some sort of system, you know, between Mane, Müller, João Félix, Musiala, Sané, Gnabry, Coman, surely we can make some sort of attack work. So I can understand that. Plus, if we have Xerxes sitting there, I think we can make something work. But I guess I say all that to say I would be excited about potentially signing João Félix simply because I know the talent is there. And I'm very convinced he will work better in a much more attacking system. And Bayern Munich absolutely offer that. And so maybe not the player I would choose, but it comes down to Nagelsmann's system. And I think he's someone I would at least be very, very excited about. But Garrett, Tim, any thoughts from either of you on João Félix?
I think you're kind of right. It's kind of hard to judge how well he necessarily fit in at Bayern. So I'm actually going to agree with both of you to some degree, because I am 100% on board with Sebastian's sentiments that I think we do need a typical or proper nine. And I don't know that upon purchasing João Félix, that we'd have that. But again, maybe Xerxes is that guy, or somebody else we're unaware of at this point. But that would concern me. However, I do think, to your point, Ben, I think that with the talent, I think it is telling that Atletico Madrid still paid a lot of money for him, knowing that it wasn't exactly the kind of fit that was working with their current style. I know they had tried to kind of get away from the style that they had success with and go towards a more attacking style. And maybe they were thinking he would kind of be the catalyst to that. But I do think that, like, he would offer Bayern a different approach. And if we want this team to be adaptive and to be versatile in how they play, I think he could really play that help Bayern play that way. The big concern for me would be price tag, and I just don't know that Bayern would have would be comfortable spending the kind of money that they'd have to on him after this splash for Mane and then and De Ligt, and, you know, there would have to be, not only would they have to sell Lewandowski, I would assume they'd have to sell Gnabry, and I would I would guess Pavard would also have to go, because you'd have to free up significant funds to be able to finance all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if everything goes through that the rumors are suggesting, which it never happens, it's going to be a busy summer. It already has been a busy summer, and it seems like the next week or two is going to be even more busy. But I guess those are all the moves for now that it's at least worth keeping your eye on, because there's probably going to be some movement taking place with those very quickly. But that's all the time that we have for this episode. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can follow us over on Twitter @superbayernpod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're probably going to be there. As always, thank you for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.